ABC Radio Australia.
Time to talk through some of the sporting issues of the week with sports writer and social media forum moderator Tia Rocco. Welcome, Tia. Good to have you back on the program.
Pacific greetings, Richard, from Gullawinku. It's so good to be here, as always.
Yes, and good to hear your voice once again. And we're going to talk first of all about Fijiana. Andrea, we know now that they will be defending their Super W rugby title next season. There was a bit of a question mark about finance and the like, but I think the Australian government has stepped in to help once again. So the team is good to go for the next season. But what we don't know at the moment is who is going to be coaching the side. There still seems to be a little bit of doubt about that. I mean, what do you know?
Well, Richard, interestingly, there has been a few questions from fans abroad and in the country asking what is happening broadly in the context of updates from Fiji Rugby. Of course, when there is no movement of information, it's unsettling for their online 360+ fan base. Briefly, Fiji Rugby, Richard, is recruiting for a head of women's rugby and competitions and get a program called Get Into Rugby Plus. But unfortunately, there is still no word on what's happening with Senirusi Seravakula, who, as we all know, was successful in taking the Fijian Andrua to winning the Super W title in 2022. And as a side note, 2023 draws has just been released. Now, very quickly, Richard, Seravakula and his coaching staff were also instrumental in improving Fiji rugby women's national team rankings. So that's been a bit of good news. And they returned to the country 4 weeks ago, with headlines prompting the question, obviously, on everyone's mind regarding the continuation of Seravakula's contract. Now, there is a bit of speculation online via social media, Richard, regarding investigations into the treatment of players and calls for an urgent review, which, in my opinion, would have to take place rather quickly, as we have the March Super W comp, as you just mentioned, around the corner. There is also talk about the New Zealand media doing an investigative story around what would be controversial allegations as to what happened behind the scenes in the lead up to the Women's Rugby World Cup. Now, whether this is true, we don't know, but there are sources behind closed doors also saying that Seravakula will step down voluntarily, should this be true, Richard.
Yes, that's a very convoluted situation, isn't it? I'm sure as far as the players and the fans are concerned, they would just like it to have it all sorted out and they can get on and start the defence of the Super W title. Now, more immediately, we have the second round of the World Rugby Sevens Series for the men coming up this weekend, first round for the women. But before we touch on that, I want to talk about Osir Kolonisau, the man who captained Fiji when they won the Sevens gold medal in Brazil at the Olympics. He then went on to play professional rugby in America, and now he finds himself coaching the Chinese women's Sevens team, and they've just won the Asia Rugby Sevens Series. He's a very versatile guy, Osir, isn't he? But I gather we can't talk to him because the Chinese authorities won't allow it. That's the suspicion, at least.
Yes, Richard, on the Fiji Rugby Forum and the Rugby Coaches Forum, we posted a few months ago that Osir Kolonisau and being assisted by his coaching staff, Stefano Dacao and Eroni Lingassi, were working with the Chinese National Women's Sevens team. You know, this is exciting to see, especially last weekend after being in the space for a short time, one at the United Arab Emirates Asian Series Championship, beating Japan. And whilst we wish them success in their journey, I'm so really thrilled for these guys as they carve their footprint and gaining momentum in the seven space, Richard. And we will, you know, look back and remember Osir for his achievements, as well as Setefana Lakao. And it's exciting what they're doing, for, as we all know, Kolonisau applied for the coaching position for the Fiji team and unfortunately lost out to Gollings, and then he went on to secure his win for the Chinese national women's team. Unfortunately, yes, we couldn't get them online, but wishing them every success in their pathway, Richard.
Which brings us on to the Dubai Sevens. Fijiana will be in action in a pool featuring Ireland, Spain and Japan, just defeated by China. China will be up against Australia, Canada and the USA. So it's going to be a pretty big test for the Chinese. But Fijiana, you would think, more than capable of coming through that pool.
Yes, we're looking forward to seeing how they will perform. I spoke to Suliasi Fuli late last night, asking him if he had a comment regarding the addition of the 15s players, Bessie, Wilson and Serevi, into the sevens team. Now, he told me it's all part of a long-term plan to expose as much players from his extended squad to the international competition, especially the sevens, which is fast and furious. He noted in particular Mbese and Elisapedi, who were both part of the extended sevens squad before their transition to 15s, and it's great to see them back. The new addition, Richard Tale Wilson, is based in Australia and played well during the Rugby World Cup. Fully told me that Tale asked to have a crack in the sevens, and he said, why not? And he said Tale is very talented and has a work ethic, which is one of their core values for the Fijiana Sevens, and he hoped that they would enjoy their first tournament. So best of luck to the Fijiana Sevens.
Tells you a lot about the strength of rugby in all codes in Fiji, really, doesn't it, that the Fijiana can shuffle the pack like that, and the men's team have done it even more so, I think it's fair to say. And they'll be up against Argentina, New Zealand, their arch rivals, of course, and Uruguay in the pool round in Dubai. That could be a tricky one for Fiji if the men's team, as they sometimes do, have a bit of an off day. Argentina, New Zealand, no pushovers.
Certainly not. But of course, you know, with the Australians as of late wreaking havoc in the seven scenes, they've also created targets on their back. So I'm not sure about, you know, what the strategy is for this weekend, but we certainly hope all teams the best.
And Samoa, I mean, they've had so many struggles over the last couple of years, not least because of COVID and a little bit of, shall we say, unhappiness within the camp at one stage. But they seem to be really moving forwards at a rapid rate, and they're doing it with locally produced players. They'll be up against USA, Canada, Japan in the pool round in Dubai. They're a team to watch, aren't they? They're edging closer and closer to winning a round that they haven't done for some time now.
Yes, most certainly, Richard. I'm really excited for the Samoans team, who've been roving on the outskirts when it comes to the sevens competition. I think with the finals entry into the Rugby League World Cup, this will have encouraged the Samoan team, and I'm looking forward to more improved performances from their end. Thanks, Richard.
And finally, a word on a big game already played and another one coming up in Nukualofa, the Tonga captain, of course. It's the Oceania Under-20s Championship. They're just the two teams involved, Tonga, the home team, and Samoa. The first game was won by Tonga a couple of days ago, 20 points to 19 after they trailed 16-3 at halftime. Second game will be played at Teofiva Stadium tomorrow. And the significant thing about this is that representative rugby is back in Tonga after everything that they've been through with the volcanic eruption, the tsunami and COVID. It's just good to see rugby back there in the capital. And the ground was packed the other day for the first match.
Yes, Richard, can I just say I'm loving the work that rugby, Oceania Rugby is doing in the sports for development space for Pacific nations. Tonga, of course, claimed their first win of the Pacific Sports 2022 Oceania Rugby Under 20 Trophy with a 20-19 win over Samoa. So the Under 20 Tongan team have claimed their win on the home soil, which is rather exciting. And I'm looking forward to the round two this weekend, Saturday, 3rd of November, for the final match of the tournament, which will be broadcasted on Pacifica TV. I'm just so excited because, you know, Oceania Rugby released a press release a couple of days ago saying that their Australian government's Pacific Oars spots program and the 2022 Oceania Rugby Under 20 trophy increased to a two-match competition, and that Pacific Oz Sports works to create, you know, greater engagement between Australia and the Pacific. So I think it's a great initiative and certainly a space to watch in terms of development pathways for rugby players in the Pacific, Richard.
Absolutely agree with that totally, Tia. Thank you so much for being on the program once again and for taking us through some of the issues of the week. Look forward to speaking to you again next week.